This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Jordan Love, drafted by the Green Bay Packers, has a lot of people wondering what does this actually mean. It goes back to something we've always said, which is this league is always looking forward. There is no tour. There's no reminiscing. There's no you tell us when you want to leave. We'll ride this out. And the Packers make a decision on the future of their quarterback position without getting Aaron Rodgers any of the weapons that he needs to take that one step to get closer to the Super Bowl. Maybe they think they're all set. Maybe it was just too good to pass up. But there are backup quarterbacks that are out there that can help you. There's Cam Newton still available. There's going to be Andy Dalton available. Jameis Winston, a deal with the Saints, a one-year deal to become a backup. And I think it's a good landing spot for Winston because good NFL coaches know that Winston is, despite his massive turnovers, is not a project to give up on yet. That the talent that he has is still so good that when refined, he could still return to the NFL in some capacity as a starting quarterback. He could still be of value to any team out there if he learns to control how he throws the football. The Saints are a team that is not predicated on going downfield. I mean, Breeze's offense is not chucking it downfield. It's not this big aerial attack. I mean, they throw short passes. I think I saw that the average Drew Brees pass is about 6 yards through the air. Jameis Winston's passes average 10 yards through the air. So he was taking some big chances, gambles, trying to really go vertical. And I think Sean Payton can slow that progression down for him, make him so that he's a little bit more cautious of where he puts the football. When he's great, he's really good. When he's awful, he's really bad. That's the rub on Jameis Winston. In the right hands, I think he can still go back to being a quarterback. It depends on, though, again, the mindset. Is Jameis Winston at a position where he realizes his own way of playing is not going to have long-term effect in this league? Or does he say to himself, you know what, this is the kind of the way I'm wired, and I'm just not going to change. I'm just going to try to throw the same kind of throws with the same length, but I'm going to try to figure out a way not to throw it to the other team. But we'll get to the Packers and what this is saying to Aaron Rodgers next. It's Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is SB Nation Radio Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver. Listen, this Green Bay Packers situation is getting a little interesting. There's now people saying, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I should call for a trade. I don't know how, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I feel about this. What is the organization telling me? Can they even spin it in a way that's acceptable to me? A veteran quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the league that is what was one game away from going to a Super Bowl, and now I got to hear it from a young head coach and a front office that Jordan Love was just too good to pass up in that slot. The fact that they don't get me a wide receiver and a wide receiver rich class in any of their draft picks, and they had a lot of draft picks. If I'm Rodgers, this is where I stand on my power a little bit here. There is no reason to look to the future at that position when you're 13-3 and you're going to the playoffs, you lose to San Francisco, but you're one game away from the Super Bowl. That would be a time to rally around the future of what we're doing right now. Put pieces in place. But again, if you're the Packers and if you are evaluating Jordan Love as this extra level player, what do you do? Do you just let another team get him? Because it depends on how you scout him. Again, if you're seeing the same kind of skills that translate into a superstar level quarterback in the league, then you owe it to the league's future. Always, you're trying to always think ahead to get him. But But this is a problem because, again, you're not talking about a star quarterback that is struggling in the organization. You're not talking about an organization that is looking at a 38-year-old quarterback and going, now, well, you know, I don't know how to tell him, but this ain't working out. Maybe we'll draft a quarterback and he'll figure it out. That's not what's going on here, right? I mean, so I can understand the frustrations of what the Packers are doing, but this, you want this level of professionalism between the front office and what Aaron Rodgers is going through, but they've done this before, obviously, when they had Brett Favre and they drafted Rodgers, but it worked out for them. That's the argument that they can make. In the end, they can go, you know what? You won us a Super Bowl. You've put us in the playoffs a number of times. You've given this franchise another level of success. We transitioned from one level of success to another level of success. And we are responsible as an organization to keep that moving, to keep that moving forward. And even though, yes, we were one game away from going to the Super Bowl, yes, we probably should have drafted a wide receiver. I don't know how you spin that you didn't draft a wide receiver. But nevertheless, we have to look ahead. You're not going to be around here for 10 more years. And so is this organization supposed to go in some sort of limbo while we wait out your retirement and then not have anybody that can call signals for us in the way we want as a quarterback that is young and will grow and will be around for a long period of time? We did our evaluation and we determined that this kid is a franchise quarterback, right or wrong. And I don't know what happens. We've seen too many of these bust out or become successful. But if you're the Packers, that's how you have to think. But it is a fine line because you are saying something to your star quarterback. And I'd be livid if I was Aaron Rodgers. Because Rodgers is looking at it going, look, am I always going to be a Packer? Of course. Am I going to always want this organization to be successful when I'm retired and I'm brought back to for Old Timers Day and I'm put on the Ring of Fame and all of those things? And when I go to the Hall of Fame, I'm a Packer, Packer for life, part of the legacy of this wonderful organization that's been around forever. Yes. But my initial concern is not what this team is going to do in 2026. My initial concern is going to be what it's going to do in 2021. Now, you're going to be looking 3 or 4 years down the road with this pick. I'm looking at today, and I don't have anything today, right? We have to figure out a way to beat a San Francisco team that got better in the draft. We have to figure out how to beat some other teams in the NFC that are getting better in the draft. We can't just go status quo and hope for the best and hope maybe some injuries bog down the Niners, or maybe we just catch lightning in a bottle in one of the playoff games, whatever it is. I need this kind of talent, and I'm not getting it from this organization. And that is a big, big issue that is going to tear coach and player, general manager and player. They're going to have to figure out how to resolve this. But you can, and again, you can spin Jordan Love's pick any way you want if you're the Packers, any way you want. Future, bright, saw it on film, et cetera, et cetera. But if you're not down with, if you're not putting Aaron Rodgers in a position where he feels like you're doing what's best for him and not the organization, you're going to have a real problem. And that team is too good. That team is too good to be bogged down in this offseason with questions about Rodgers' future. That would be my concern if I'm in the front office of this team. I'm coming off a 13-3 season. I am coming off an NFC championship appearance. And my whole offseason now is going to be answering questions of whether or not the drafting of Jordan Love is insulting to Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to be plagued by this no matter how many times I answer this. And this was not, again, Jordan Love better be a superstar to warrant this level of distrust for where this organization is going. Look, in a way, you could see the team drafting Aaron Rodgers with a will he or won't he kind of Brett Favre-ish. Not necessarily at that time, but, you know, it was getting close, right? But in this situation, how in the world do you sit Rodgers down and say, there were players on the board we could have got and we didn't get them because we're going with another quarterback.
There's no way to positively spin this.
You really can't.
There's no way. This is a team unlike any other that wants the season to start right away so they can just talk about football.
Yeah, I know.
And getting the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. But, I mean, if you have any preseason games, you got to assume Jordan Love is going to take a few snaps.
Sure.
That's just going to start that talk quickly. And especially if he performs well. I mean, that's a situation up in Wisconsin.
What are the Packers saying about Matt LaFleur? Right? How much in terms of all our eggs are in his basket? All right, let's just make this very clear, Aaron Rodgers. Matt LaFleur is running this team. He may be a young coach, and you may be the established NFL superstar, but this is his football team.
Yep.
Right? And that's how I would take it if I was Aaron Rodgers.
So what team
is... The new guy in town is the new coach in his first year, 13-3. He gets to build it the way he's going to build it going down the road.
So Rodgers has, 2 years left on his contract?
Yeah, I'll have to remind me.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up. I'm just curious what team he's going to play for next.
Yeah, right? I mean, seriously, if you don't want me here, then trade me. Then I'll leave. Then I'll get out of here. But, you know, maybe... And there's a number of ways. Look, we've seen teams go through this before. Maybe not so much drafting a young quarterback when you have an established star coming off an NFC championship appearance. But we've wondered sometimes with teams, hey, you guys needed a tight end, and there were a couple of tight ends on the board. Why didn't you take them? Maybe those tight ends don't fit the scheme, and you just don't grab a tight end to grab a tight end. You figure it out another way. Maybe that's the case with the receiving core. Maybe they looked and said, you know what? I don't know how this is going to look. I don't know if I want these particular players, but I'd like to think that the only way you can justify this is saying what we saw from this kid on film and what we anticipate our offense is going to look like in the future. We are not going to pass up on this talent. We don't care what the optics are. We will figure it out. We will sit down and discuss it. We will hash it out like men, but this kid is on the board. We know that he can be, we just feel based on what we see that he can be a star down the road and lead us and continue this franchise into playoff glory. We are not turning it down. We do not know as an organization when we are going to be able to draft the next franchise quarterback. Yep, sure. You can do what the Chiefs did. Find a Patrick Mahomes, move up to get him. You can do what the Ravens did.
Yep.
Like Lamar Jackson enough to grab him with the final pick. All of those are on the board. But when you're talking about a slew of quarterbacks that come in, you know, you don't know what the bottom end of that, you know, like there's going to be the first round selections, the guys that go in the top 10, top 11, top 12. And then there's going to be guys that go in 20th, 25th, 26th.
Well, like,
they don't know what that talent level is going to look like. They like this kid enough to say, yeah, 27 or whatever they picked at, we grab him.
I like the two teams you just mentioned, the Chiefs and the Ravens, because both of them moved up to grab a quarterback. We saw what the end game was to that. You know, yep. A year later, they're now the stars, forcing out the decent veteran. Now, Joe Flacco, obviously, he's lost his touch or two, but Alex Smith was still playing pretty well.
Yeah, he led him to a postseason before they turned it over to him.
You know, I mean, and I know that neither of those guys are in the echelon that Aaron Rodgers is, but, you know, like we've been saying all along, I mean, it's not just – I know a performance on the field counts for a lot, but – what if Jordan Love becomes more marketable?
Well, yeah. I mean, listen.
I mean, I don't know how that's possible. Aaron Rodgers seems to be in every commercial right now, but
a couple of years down the road, we could look back and go, yep, Packers outsmarted all of us.
Right? Yeah.
They outsmarted
definitely.
All of us. They've got the next Mahomes. They got the next superstar. Whatever. We definitely could.
In an Aaron Rodgers contract, I mean, he's an unrestricted free agent in 2024, but there is an out in 2022.
Yeah. I thought there was.
Yeah, he's just starting his new deal.
Yeah,
like the one that he signed what, was like 2 years ago or something.
It's just It's interesting to me again. You do have to, if you're a GM, you are having to figure out. We talk about you don't have a quarterback. I don't care what you have nothing. If you don't have a quarterback, you have nothing. You can look at the Titans, for example, just giving the ball to Derrick Henry, letting Ryan Tannehill do very basic things. You can look at the 49ers, who only had Jimmy Garoppolo throw it 8 times in the game. But you better make sure that does work. Because if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have nothing. And if you see the quarterback of your future, you have to grab him. But at the same time, it comes at a cost. And that cost is sitting down with your superstar and explaining to him why you failed him on draft day. The 3 draft days, you didn't get any sort of help whatsoever for an offense that was needing something. I mean, the Packers were kind of middle of the road in statistics. They weren't a team that led. They wouldn't lead the league in passing, or they weren't one of the top 5 teams in passing, or they weren't one of the top 3 teams in rushing. They were in the middle of the road on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, they started off really good. It sort of faded out. But they managed 13 wins in a season. Well, that's hard to do. And you asked to get a different kind of pop in the offense. Who knows what that could have led to? They could have been a better team at 11-5 and made the Super Bowl. Because you win and lose games by the skin of your teeth sometimes. Sometimes you outplay a team and lose. Sometimes you play crappy and win. You know, so they could have been a better looking team at 11-5 and gone to the Super Bowl. Who knows? All right, again on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver, Ron with 2 N's, as we continue. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That's coming up in 15 minutes. Don't want to miss that. This hour, it is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, don't take a chance on getting stranded, because when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop. So O'Reilly Auto Parts will test that battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for this weather ahead, this hot weather. Getting ready for your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Going back to the Aaron Rodgers situation with the Green Bay Packers. See, this is the thing. You're a Charger fan. I root for the Steelers. I know Big Ben's day is coming up soon. It's not going to last forever. So you want your franchise quarterback. It feels better when you have someone in place that's supposed to take over the organization and lead you down the road. Like, you got Justin Herbert. He might be a star. He might be a bust, but he might be a star. Still won't matter to the people of Los Angeles, but nevertheless, the Steelers have to figure it out. Hodges isn't going to be their franchise quarterback.
I mean, back to Justin Herbert for a second. He could turn into a bona fide star.
Yes.
No one will know.
I know.
That's what's going to be depressing.
Tree falls in a forest, man. That's what it's going
on. Yeah, no one's going to know. He's going to set NFL records next year, Tony. Mark my words, but nobody will. They won't even be in the record books.
Yeah. just an organization drifting through the wind.
Yep.
So, but again, it's
God,
a tough.
Does that team need to move?
I know. It's unbelievable.
Get out of L.A.
I'm so looking forward to seeing when the day comes where we are filling stadiums back up again. See, we're not going to know next year. We probably won't know.
No,
for a while.
In fact, the Chargers are excited about that.
Now the ink stain on the blot of their existence is going to be, nobody's going to know.
No, because the running joke is, other teams are contacting the Chargers to figure out how does it feel to play in front of no fans.
Right, exactly.
And
working for you?
It stings. I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I see one of those, it's like, God, man.
I know.
Truth hurts.
It does. It really does. It's going to be. So you got this huge stadium and a team nobody's interested in.
Yeah.
It's like two worlds that should not collide at all. Justin Herbert could be on TV saying, Charger fans, come out and root for us. We're going to buy 3 tickets, get 1 free. Buy 1 ticket, get 3 free. I don't care. Just come out.
Yep. And as soon as the camera turns off, he's like, that was pointless. Do you think that'll be any good? No, yeah. It's not going to be any good.
It's so weird, too, because he played at Oregon, which has one of the most acoustically brilliant designed stadiums to trap noise in all of college football.
His first huddle, his first snap, the players are going to turn like, dude, why are you yelling?
Yeah,
stop.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to yell so much. The other team knows what we're doing because you keep yelling.
that game against the Raiders. He's going to get up to the line with like 2 minutes remaining. The team needs a touchdown. Crowd is going crazy. He's going to throw his hands to quiet the crowd. They're like, no. I don't think you understand. That's going to get them louder. This is not. Oh, goodness.
Look around. Know the room.
Look around. Know
what jersey color are we wearing?
Know the room.
Yes, it might be a home game for you, but it's a blackout for us.
Exactly. So, listen, I would, if I'm a fan, I want my team to be looking ahead to the quarterback position. I want that. I want them to, if I've got a 38-year-old quarterback or a 36-year-old quarterback, 37-year-old quarterback, when he's approaching 40, I want my team to be thinking about the future. Because, again, it stinks when you don't have a quarterback. It stinks in this league when you are successful, you lose your starter, and things don't work out as well. You know, some teams can, you know, band-aid it together, but we know that, look, you need a guy that plays the position well, right? I mean, you, and sometimes you draft a quarterback and you're all excited and it doesn't work out. Look, I mean, we just saw two guys in Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota that this year are playing on new teams. Because when they got to their point where a long-term deal was in the cards, neither team went, yeah, I'm game. Let's sit down and hammer one out. Both teams were like, yeah, I'm not sure about this. That was the number one and the number two pick in the 2015 draft. And neither one of them worked out for their team. Mariota is now on the Raiders, and Winston will look like he'll be joining the Saints. Right? So you want your team looking at the future, but it's a fine balance from striking when the iron's hot. Right? I mean, the Steelers are coming off a season, right, where Roethlisberger was hurt. And two quarterbacks on that team, Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, weren't good enough to give you any feeling like the position is in good hands when Ben finally announces his retirement. So the Steelers need to find a quarterback. Well, when do they find a quarterback? When the time comes where they go, well, Ben Roethlisberger is now retired. It's time to find the quarterback in the draft. Or do they go, holy cow, we have an opportunity to grab this kid who we like, who's kind of been the buzz of this draft as a steal or a late first round selection. That's who we get. That's what the Packers were up against, right? How long has Aaron Rodgers got to be effective? I don't know. 2 years? One? Four? He could retire any minute. Then what do we do? Oh, well, do we cross that bridge when we get there? Or do we give him a wide receiver and give him a wide receiver? Or do we take the guy we are just in love with? Because I can't imagine, listen to this, I can't imagine being a scout or a general manager that is absolutely bonkers for a prospect and not taking him when you can take him. That's got to drive you crazy. Even if you don't need that player, that's got to drive you nuts. You do all the film study, you do all the analysis, you talk to coaches, you talk to other scouts, whatever it may be, however your analysis works, and you come up with, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be a quarterback, it could be running back, it could be defensive end, it could be linebacker, it could be safety, I don't care what it is. You see a player and you go, God, I'm nuts about that guy. I want that guy in my uniform. I want that guy on Sundays playing for me. Oh my God, he's a game changer. He's going to be a game changer. He's going to blow this league up. Oh my God. And then it's draft day and you're drafting and you start noticing that guy's not being taken. And then it gets to you and you have an opportunity to, you're making a deal to maybe move up or you're standing pat, whatever it may be, whatever position you're in. And you go, this is the guy I'm crazy about. I can't imagine being on another team. You take him and then you cross all of the check marks and you go, this, we're gonna have to talk to this guy and this guy and this guy, but this is how we're gonna do it. I gotta think the Packers better be so in love with Jordan Love that they're giving him Valentine's cards, right? I mean, they better be crazy about him to warrant this kind of coup that they're trying to pull on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, and they better be right about this, because if Rodgers goes, I don't want to be a part of this anymore. I want to be whatever he does, or he retires earlier than you think, and the team goes into has a little lull and a little tailspin, and Love isn't the quarterback that you think he is. I mean, some splaining to do in the Packers offices. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up next. So we're rolling along on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
wake-up call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, the dumb here on a Tuesday as we roll along. So the good today, I'm thinking there's a couple that you've got to have as we
get rolling
in the week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to find good, but it is easy to find good.
By the way, you do a great job giving us a feeling of optimism sometimes in these good stories.
Today, I want to highlight a power couple. Yesterday, I brought you the news, the saddening news of Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari getting a divorce after 10 years of blissful, wonderful marriage.
That's right.
I'm not really sure about that last part, but I know they were married for 10 years. But today I want to highlight a power couple, another husband and wife team that are a little unknown of, Noah and Riley Vaughn.
Yeah, I saw this. This is really fun social media videos.
If you don't know who they are, Noah Vaughn is a Oakland A's prospect. He's made it to AAA, has yet to make it to the big show, was probably going to make it this year, and still could make it this year if there is, ever is a season. Riley, his wife, is a softball player, or was a softball player.
She was a softball player at Texas A&M, I think.
Yeah, second team SEC. So, I mean, she is a stud in her own right. So the first video that we watched, and everyone, if you were on social media, you saw it. Riley pitches to her husband, Noah. Noah takes her yard and then proceeds to bat flip.
That was great.
It was great. But it's probably something that, you know, he would regret, right?
Sure.
Because you don't bat flip your wife.
You don't get a lot of those moments, so you might as well take them when you can get them and just let the consequences lay themselves out.
And the consequences did lay themselves out, because then he decided to pitch to her and she took him deep and had the most epic bat flip ever. I mean, I don't know if the bat landed. The ball, I think, landed before the bat.
Yeah, it was an excellent bat flip. My hope is that he did not groove that pitch for her so they could have a second video.
Yeah. I think we need a showdown between the pair of them now.
Yeah, I know. I actually looked them up last night. I was like, I got to look up this couple to see who exactly they are.
Right?
Why are we so fascinated by this husband and wife baseball/softball team? So, yeah, I looked them up last night. Nice young couple.
Yep. Met at Texas A&M.
Just got married last fall.
Yeah.
Last October. So, good young, staying at his parents' house.
In Texas, yep.
In Texas, so, and figuring out how to keep themselves occupied while we wait to go back out.
So, how do you keep yourselves occupied? I just do a couple small little videos of me blasting a home run off my wife and then turning around and having her do it the following day.
You know what Fantastic. I was thinking when I was reading about his story about being in minor league baseball and trying to get, you know, is I wonder how stressful it must be for a young baseball player that's in the minors that needs to keep up his skill, needs to keep in shape, needs to keep, you know, honed, because the competition to get to the big show is pretty severe.
Oh, of course.
So, you know what I mean? So as everybody's in quarantine, if you're not finding a way to keep up some level of your skill, your competition is. Right, your competition is figuring that out. Like they're trying to figure out how to do that, so that when you get back to playing, whatever that may look like in minor league baseball, especially, because we're talking about no fans for major league baseball, and they might be able to survive it. Minor league baseball cannot survive it. Like that's a dead industry.
Well,
we talked about that in the stadiums.
We talked about that last week. How there's just going to be some minor league teams that are just gone.
That's it.
Lost because of the virus.
Almost all the revenue is ticket sales, local sponsorships, radio sponsorships. You probably can get some income from that, but not enough to take care of your operating costs.
And there's no amount of Pokemon giveaways.
That's right.
That you could do to salvage
exactly.
that team.
Pokemon giveaways is right. So you better. So I'm assuming it's stressful for him, as his dream is like, I better be good enough to get to the show.
Yeah. Now, real quick, if you guys don't know what the Pokemon giveaway is, be an avid listener to the show.
Right.
That's an inside joke of the show.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell it once again at some point. So keep listening.
Somewhere down the road.
Know. For those of you who listen daily, you're probably like, I've heard this five times since I started listening to these guys. But it's a funny story that I keep telling because I play the hits.
Right. Pokemon giveaway.
What's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, there was a little photo that was released, and it was of Alex Smith's leg.
Oh, my God. I thought this was fake, and then I found out it wasn't. I thought this was fake. Is it fake?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is real. The bad
I
of the
saw
day.
It the only way I thought it was not fake is I saw it multiple places.
Yeah. The bad of the day is on me, perhaps on you. Why do we look at it?
Oh my God! I could not. It's seriously. It's the car crash culture, right?
Yes.
We're rubbernecking.
We
in a car
need
crash.
To see this.
We have to see. If you're in a traffic jam and you realize there's an accident, you all look. We all look to want to know how severe was it. Oh yeah. My God! What's going on?
But there's same no reason here. For us to see it. I showed it to my kids.
Oh,
I said, "Hey, Dad, I said, son, come here. You got to see this photo." I said, this will haunt your dreams for years. Look at this.
Let me tell you something. I remember when Alex Smith got hurt, remember how the story was maybe a couple of days later or down the road where they said he almost lost the leg?
Yes.
And I thought at the time, because I didn't see this, at the time I thought, what? That's got to be an exaggeration.
Yeah,
it's a football injury. It's a severe injury.
It was a bad break.
But please do not tell me he almost lost his leg. Then you see this and you're like, oh my God, I would have cut that off.
Yeah,
I don't know how they.
I can't even make sense of the photo. I look at it and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what part of the body is that? I know they keep telling me it's a leg.
Right.
I'm just going to take your word for it.
I'm going to take your word for it. It's black. It's burnt. Just, it looks burnt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even. What is that? I don't even know
what
that is.
I don't know.
And I don't want to know. I saw the photo. I was like, I don't want to read about it because that's just going to give me nightmares.
Right.
But yeah, the bat is on every one of us who constantly goes, yes, I would like to see Alex Smith's leg.
I know.
If you're a doctor, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to take that's research. For you and I, we're nowhere near doctorhood anytime soon. You and I are just like, yeah, let's drive slow next to this car crash. Was it a good one? All right. Yep. Flipped over car.
I really do.
Bingo.
I mean, I'm just interested how it got so charred. I mean, I don't know how else.
Yeah, but then it makes me think of others.
What is it? Just blood clots that are just in the blood vessels burst or something? Or?
Like we heard the stories about Alex Smith's leg. We know how it broke. Did Joe Theismann's leg look this way?
It must have. It must have.
Was Teddy Bridgewater's worse?
That's a good question. That's a really good question.
You know, these are the thoughts going through my mind. It's like, where are those photos? I need those photos now. I need to contrast, to compare.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. If Alex Smith ever returns to a football field, I'll be blown away. I'll be just...
I
mean, you're lucky if you, like, can I at least walk with my kids down to the bus stop? That kind of
I know,
injury.
Without a cane?
Yeah.
You know, or am I riding that, or am I walking on that, like, that knee scooter?
Yep, right.
Where I have my knee up on a scooter and I'm just wheeling around all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that guy in Tiger King that had his legs amputated after that accident. It's like, do you just go, no, Doc, I'm not dealing with this. Cut it off.
That was the logical step right there, right?
Yeah, right. With that?
Amputate your leg. No big deal.
God. You're so right about looking. I just could not help but look.
Well, it comes across your timeline and you're looking at it like, yeah, why not?
I just could not. This is freaking out.
And like I said, I had to go and show other people. I needed other people on my train. Right. Like, dude, I'm about to throw up. Come here. Come check this out.
I know. Crazy. All right. The dumb of the day.
Okay, you're gonna have to bear with me here. Well, the dumb of the day is the Lakers.
Okay.
Okay. Now, they like Shake Shack. There's another company out there too. I can't remember.
Harvard.
Harvard. You know, they good on them for returning the payment protection plan payment plan.
Right.
You know, the payroll that was the payroll protection payment, right?
Right, the money that they got.
The money they got from the government. They returned it because, I mean, technically they are a small business. But, okay, I'm trying to figure out, is it dumb on the Lakers forever applying for it in the first place? Because I have a hard time believing that the government just said, here, Lakers, have some money because you're a small business.
Okay, that's a good question. Now, again, it depends on, I think you do it, and then you hoping that there's enough money to go around, right? So they were talking about you know, these stratospheric numbers in terms of finances. Do you say, well, let's get our share? If they're just giving it to businesses, we're a business, let's get it. And then when you get it and then you realize, oh, haha, Joe's Barbershop didn't get anything, or Mike's Florist didn't get nothing, and that cake decorating place didn't get nothing. You know, Susie's Bakery, she didn't get anything. Well, we're going to return it then because we don't need it. But do you apply it in saying, well, maybe there's enough money to go to everybody? And if there's enough money to go to everybody, why don't we just get our share and help our payroll and everything like that, or whatever that we need? But then when you realize, there isn't enough money to go around, and a lot of businesses were denied, then go back to returning it. I don't know. I mean, maybe the Lakers shouldn't have applied for it in the first place.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at, because they don't need it.
Yeah, but I don't think they gave you money. Like, I think you had to
apply for it.
Yeah, you had to apply for it, because they wouldn't know what you needed. You'd have to say, I'm looking for this. Right?
Yeah. So I'm a little confused on this. I mean, I'm curious to how they came about. I guess, I mean, a small business is anything under, 500 employees or something like that?
I guess, yeah.
So, I mean, technically, yeah, the Lakers are a small business. All NBA teams are a small business because they probably don't have more than 500 employees.
Yeah, they're not they're not a conglomerate, right? They're not a huge, but, it would go to the larger question, right? They are a franchise of a company.
Yeah.
You know, even though they're individually owned, they're a franchise of a company. So how does that differ from the local McDonald's in your town?
And
right, that might need it. But the local McDonald's is staying open through drive-through. But if you own a franchise of something, it doesn't have to be fast food. It could be anything. If you own a franchise of something, you can get money through this. Yeah. Even if your parent company is loaded.
What if you only own one restaurant?
Right.
So, but where I kind of also put the dumb is the IRS who processed it. Now, I don't want to say anything bad about the IRS because I'm still waiting on my stimulus check. And if you're going to come at me, I'll give you a different name in a second. But no, I mean, when that comes across your plate, right, and you're processing these forms, do you look down and go, Los Angeles Lakers?
Right.
But approved.
How many of us really know the deep finances of these teams?
No, right? I mean, that's true.
We when everything's rolling, we go, oh yeah, they're making a ton of money. But when no income is coming in, do we go,
Yeah, but I mean, I guess with them, they are one of the richest NBA teams in the
They're valued as they're one of the most valued franchises in sports.
They're in the billions.
Right.
I don't know. I'm a little confused about how they came about it. I understand, I guess, Shake Shack got theirs, but returned theirs. Kind of makes sense to me. Harvard returned theirs as well, which was like, okay, yeah, because you guys probably look at that and go, that's nothing. You should see what we get in donations.
Yeah, sure. Do you say to yourself, look, let's apply, like I was saying, if they're giving money to everybody, let's just apply and get it, and let's see
where
we go.
Well, was it a situation where let's apply and then, we'll just redistribute it to all of our employees at Staples Center who aren't working right now?
Yes,
that's right. Was it maybe that thought process, but then figured, there's going to be a lot of backlash if we actually use this?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, right? You apply, you get it. And then you start realizing there's companies that aren't getting it. Then you realize, okay, this is going to look terrible if they find out we've got this and we used it. I think that's where these big companies have got to figure out the PR angle of it, right? I think
ahead of time. Now, see, this is where it's hard for me because I don't want to say my team is dumb. So I'm going around the issue as much as possible, saying they're not dumb for applying.
No,
that's a smart thing to do. But did they not think they would get it?
Giving it back has it's not a good PR move to give it back, because people say you shouldn't take it in the first place. It's not like you're an act of charity, because the government didn't give it to you and then you go, what do I do with this? Where did this come from? It is we asked for it, we got it, and then went, whoops, we probably shouldn't be taking this, and then giving it back. It's not a good.
Because we all know that happens, that one day you just wake up like, oh, look, money.
That's right. That's
Who's
right.
it from? IRS. Right. You ever heard of that company? I've never heard of them. They're just giving me money.
All right. That is the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. Michael, they didn't realize that they were getting caught about applying for the money. Notice they returned it when it made it to the press and there was a massive outcry. Talking about the Lakers. I think that's probably more likely that all these businesses, whether they needed it or not, was like, let's just get ourselves some free
that
on
sounds
the money.
Like a, you know what? That sounds like a true Celtic fan right there.
Yeah, right. It's true.
Just trying to bury the Lakers. That's all you ever want to do.
I shouldn't say free money. It was a loan, right? Did they have to pay it back? Or
I don't. But no, it's
like I don't own a small business, so I don't know anything about how the rules work.
It's the payroll loan, right?
Right. Was it a loan that they had to pay back, or is it if you met the criteria, you didn't have to?
I think if you meet the criteria, you don't have to.
So that's why the Lakers are like, let's get our hands on a little bit of that government money.
Yeah.
Why not?
Some government cheese that they're handing out.
Why not? If they're just giving it away, let's get our hands on some. I mean, Lord be it for us to go and not get any money.
Yeah. How are we going to look if we didn't apply for it?
That's right. What are we saying to all the NBA teams that are getting that kind of money when we get together for our conferences? Wake up, Gold.